Hi, one more time. The presentation will be for building a Debian-based system images, and the speaker will be Ben. So hope you'll enjoy it, and thank you.
Well, this isn't really a presentation. It's a BOF.
So,
and I don't really have any huge experience with building Debian images. I just know that there are a lot of different tools, quite a bit of work going on to develop those tools, and I thought this would be... I can see that there's a lot of people interested, so hopefully some of you have tips and recommendations for, you know, what are the pros and cons of different tools. What improvements you would like to see in the tools that you use, and so on. So I'll start a Gobi document. If I can remember where do I need to go? Gobi.debian.net, right? There. Go with debian.org, okay. Yeah, okay. That's not working either. I wonder why not. Did that work? Okay, yeah. So, right, so it's not mirrored yet. Mirror. Yeah. Right. What's that? Oh, that's not actually working, is it? Okay. Can't even get to that display, so that's not going to work. Oh, no, it works. Okay, would anyone like to start off by advocating for their favourite tool that they think not enough people are using? And do I have a microphone to give? Oh, you've got the microphone, yeah. So Enrico Zini is giving another talk that conflicted with this one, and he asked me to mention that he's working on an update to, he has worked on an update to LiveWrapper that removes the dependency on VM to Bootstrap, which you may have seen is about to be removed from the archive. So that might continue to be an option.
Hello, I maintain a Golang application that builds images. It's called the Boss. Come on, I didn't. Thank you. It's listed in the system build tools. We created this at Collabora for hand creating our own images. It's basically infrastructure, and then you just describe your images in a YAML file. So all the data, you can specify actions, like you can run the Bootstrap to create the initial file system, and then on that you can add repositories and install extra packages and do whatever tweaks you need to do. You can get a binary file and flash it so on the offset that you need for bootloaders, so you are able to generate an image that later you can flash on an SD card and boot on a target device, something like that. I guess it could also accommodate cloud images, maybe, but I'm not sure what the exactly requirements are for cloud images, and I'm not sure what other kind of images we might need. But I mean, people want to have a look. Yeah.
I'm far from an expert in it, but does this sound?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm far from an expert in it, but I've been working a bit with VMDB2, which is, well, by the same author as VM the Bootstrap by Lars. And it's also based on a YAML description of the desired system. I have found it to be, well, really easy and expressive. But again, I'm just getting to know it.
Any more tools not mentioned that people would like to advocate for?
Joey has his Propeller tool that he did a talk about at DevConf last year. Is configuration management, but you can just tell it, this host that you're already configuring, please make an image that has all the properties that that host has, which is quite nice.
So FAI is used by the Debian Cloud team, and it can do a lot of things. So I think since it's very mature, I think I do this since 18 years, and we have a lot of experiences, and it works in a lot of cases. And it can also do disk images or change root environments and so on.
There's a tool called DebEarth that can put a whole system in an init ramifers. That can be useful at times.
Mm-hmm.
Since no one else is talking, I'll put a plug on my talk on Thursday, which will be about using FAI for building disk images on ARM systems. So I will probably talk more about it here now, but welcome on Thursday.
Steve, would you like to talk about more about the Debian Cloud build process?
So, which Debian Cloud build process? So at the moment, there's a whole slew of things. We've got people were using Bootstrap VZ. I think that, as far as I understand, development of that has basically stopped, but some people are probably still using it. We're not. A number of people have moved over to using Phi, as Thomas said. So he added support for building images about 18 months ago. And so the current images that are happening on AWS are built using that. Google are still using, I think, Bootstrap VZ for what they're using for official images, but people are working on moving over to Phi as well. For the Azure images, the folks at Creditive are doing those. They were using a fork, or a few changes on top of Zigo's OpenStack build script. And of course, we're still using that OpenStack build script for the OpenStack images we build regularly. So yes, we have every tool going. We have consensus in the cloud team that we want to move everything over to using Phi. The main reason for that is we want to get a consistent base configuration that we can use, because obviously most of the cloud images that we're building are 99% the same. You know, we're just making tiny tweaks for one provider or another, and Phi lets us do that in a much more sane fashion. So we can then just check in the configuration, and you know, obviously things can then derive from a core set of classes. It seems to work very well. We're still working on actually automating all of this with CI and stuff, but that's where we're up to.
So I have just added the Packer. I'm the maintainer. So Packer is to create VM images for multiple platforms such as Amazon, Google Cloud, or other cloud providers, or even Vagrant. I think it's also okay to create VM images for OpenStack.
Has anyone done a comparison of several of these tools and could explain why what they chose in the end, why it worked better for their use case?
So we had a need to build Debian images, and we were using Linaro, the way Linaro was building images. So the way they created, they were creating what they call OS pack, which is the general applications, the user land created as a tarball, and that was using live build, which was deprecated a few years ago. And then they had Linaro image tools, which was creating a hardware pack, which was all the hardware specifics components in a separated tarball. And then, well, tarball or image format, so it was some packages there. And then it was mixing the hardware enablement with the user land, so it could scale to generate several different images. But since Live Build got unmaintained, we were looking at other options. So we're looking BM debootstrap, which it was missing some of the features that Live Build had that we could not, I think we could not include. It was not easy to add customizations that we had to do with this tool. So it was not good enough. Then the Bootstrap BZ, it was just some Python script, very running commands sequentially and generating an image at the end, so we could not add and remove and add or customizations either, and it spits out only one image, while we probably need to generate multiple images with different characteristics. And we don't want to like waste a lot of space, so that's the, we like to like, have one OS pack, and then we can incrementally add more things to this OS pack and combine with a hardware pack and generate an image. So it's quite storage efficient this way. So at the end, we also look at Propeller. It looked nice, but it was Haskell. Haskell has a bit of a barrier because not everyone is comfortable hacking on Haskell. And then I think we also look at the VMDB2. It was Python based, but it didn't fit the requirements very well. So
why did it not fit the requirements? What specifically was missing?
I don't remember very well, but I think we need we want to build without root, so we we create a fake machine which uses KVM to build the image. So if you have access to KVM, you don't need root access to build the image. So at the end, we just implemented this tool called DevOps to try to fulfill our requirements. So I think that's more or less. I don't think there was more. Oh, and also Phi look a bit complicated. The code base was a bit, I mean, it's been like growing organically, and it didn't look easy to customize for needs that we had, as generating multiple images and so on.
I had a talk about this 2 years ago in Heidelberg, and basically I think the main conclusion was that it's usually just easier to write your own tool than try to understand the existing tools. And there's always a kind of a good feeling when you have your own tool that you have written exactly to your use case, while when you're working on someone else's code base, you have to like consider everyone else's use cases and you have to make compromises. Generally, I think it's not a very hard thing to write your own image writing tool, so that's why they appear so quickly.
But then a few years down the line, you've collected more use cases, and then you're working on someone else's code, that someone else being past you who didn't understand the problem as well.
I think if you want to select a tool, you should think about, do I only need to create images on the architecture that I'm running the tools on, or is it possible to create cross-architecture images? Or I think often creating the image or creating the change root environment, so just the file system, is nearly the same, and I don't know if all the tools support both. So if you want to have a disk image, you may, for debugging purpose, without extracting the file system from the image, just do the same process to get just the file system for looking into it.
Does anyone else like to share their experiences with one of some of these tools?
Is it on? Yeah. I was using, I'm running a group to start developing the kernel, and I would like a tool to build a Debian image really quickly so we can use with KVM to test the kernel. And I was using VM the Bootstrap for that, but it had a bug, and I filed the bug report in the bug tracking system, and somebody just replied me, you probably should use another tool because the tool is kind of dead. So yeah, that was my experience, and I just want a simple tool to create an image with a simple command line.
And you haven't found one yet?
Yeah, the other ones seem complicated. I need to do configurations and things like that. Actually, I didn't really look at the others, to be honest.
I would be interested in if it's important for people to have a tool that does not need root for being run. So currently, I don't know how to do loopback mounting or some other things, or are there already tools that do not need root, or which are the parts that still need root access?
Well, maybe you could look into libguestfs to access libguestfs. Have you looked into that? So that would be worth investigating.
So actually, this is one thing I do know about a little, because I started working on regression tests for initramfs tools, and tried to get those working as without root. And so far, I have got to. I can build an X2 file system using GenX2FS. But I didn't find any way to set up anything more complicated than that, like from an X4 file system or LVM, just using disk images rather than devices. Does libguestfs, what exactly does that do for you?
So it's worth having a look at the docs for libguestfs. It actually does really, really complicated, scary things underneath, essentially running an emulator and running a machine inside a VM, and then exporting access to basically to allow you to do the mucknod call, which of course is the one you can't do any other way without being root.
Okay.
It runs a VM to
so
do
it's,
it.
You've got to have to send a kind of a file system proxy into.
That's exactly how it works.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's got bindings for most common languages. I know in Lenovo we use it a lot in Lava to help us, or allow us to then go and modify random file system images and add extra things into them after they've been built. It's very powerful and also quite scary under the hood if you go and have a look. But otherwise, you know, my experience is whenever we end up building images, and I've done a whole load of different types, it always ends up coming down to, can you run mucknod? So that's why you end up either building in a VM or something to get around that.
I'm curious which of the tools mentioned can do bare metal installs as well, because I'd be interested in a system where you could create a virtual machine, a cloud image, an ARM image, and also install on bare metal.
Okay, so Thomas Lange, Faik can do that. My script that is currently used for building the official Debian images can do it too. What else? Is there any other of the mentioned tools that can do bare metal? I don't think so.
Well, Debian install with preceding. But that only does, yeah.
I'm still using a send create image, which has a simple configuration, isn't much being worked on, I think, and it doesn't support IPv6. And yeah, we've been also on the verge of creating something of our own.
Shall I scroll this down a little? What are people still adding at the top? So which of the tools can cross-build?
Sorry, going back to the background question on the installer part. We're also looking into maybe Calamares. It's something you can add into the image to get later being able to install this image into the device. Or there's also Ubiquiti from, I think, Canonical, to be able to do the installation. Like you run a live image, you can install on the bare metal hardware. So those are installers that we're currently also interested on that, we as in Collabora. So I don't know, it's interesting also to know if somebody else knows about installers.
Another question, is there one of these tools that already particularly cares about image reproducibility? Like making sure that if someone else builds the same from the same Git commit, they will get a bit by bit for bit identical artifact as a result?
The problem is that you are writing on a file system, and writing on X2, as much as I know, is not reproducible. Am I mistaken like that? Vagrant says, I'm not sure.
You have
maybe
things like file
maybe
system.
You want to answer that one, Vagrant?
You have file system.
How can you write on X234 reproducibly?
You can generate an EXP file system reproducibly without writing to it.
Well, I was just starting to say the file system UUIDs and presumably partition UUIDs, if you use a GPT, are going to, well, obviously they're supposed to be unique every time. And I don't know I don't know whether there's a good way to override that. I think MKE2FS lets you specify a UUID, and you could derive the value from the from something. But I don't know if anything does that. What's going on what's the status of Tails CD images?
What we do at the moment, well, we use QuashFS, so we don't have any problem with X3234. And QuashFS reportability is now a solved problem, mostly. And to build our ISO images reproducibly, when you type rake build, we will build a vagrant base box image with VMD bootstrap. This one won't be reproducible, but we don't care. And then it will be started with vagrant inside libvirt KVM, and then our build system, which uses an old version of libvirt, will take over and in there produce a reproducible ISO image using snapshots of the Debian archive, so we control our input.
What's the question about cross-build again? It's about cross-building.
I think it's which tools can support building a system image for another architecture.
Okay, but DevOps can build on AMD64. I think it just uses AMD64 QMU, so you are forced to use that architecture as build architecture, and then it's meant to cross-build images for any architecture you want. But actually, we do it for ARM.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question on Calamaris. Isn't this an installer with a user interface, or can it be run in a scripted mode?
It depends on a bunch of pretty stuff, so you can only run it as a GUI at the moment. No script or backend. But there's a session tomorrow for a few people who want to create something like Calamaris, but completely backend, so that you can build whatever frontend you want to it. Does that answer your question?
Yes. So just checking with GDISC for GPT partitioning, of course, where your UUIDs are normally randomized and partition creation time or whatever. Obviously, that will be a problem if you're going reproducible. Mm-hmm. It does let you specify your own UUIDs if you need, so okay, so you can control that. I've no idea about doing it for DOS partitioning. Pass. I guess, I mean, a lot of that comes down to timestamps and stuff, too, I believe.
Partitions don't have FIDs, do they?
You're right. Good point. So then it'll come down to the file systems you're using. So yeah, X234, in theory, you should be able to do
yes.
it. Other file systems, you get to keep the pieces.
I added a question at the bottom. It's about updaters. Is someone also using updaters besides APT? Nowadays, we were looking into OS3 for atomic updates, and also into CA sync. And I don't know if someone here is using this kind of updating technologies.
You mean updating your disk image?
Yeah, I mean about like on-field upgrades. So So for example, DevOps, we have support for OS3. Is OS3, do you know?
That's good.
Just a really quick introduction. It'll be like Git, but for a root file system. So you just you have a file system in a server, and then you just git pull, OS3 pull, and then you just update from that, and you can roll back as well, and it's an atomic upgrade. And the file system is just some objects that need to be downloaded, and then you can update your system in-field. It's for in-field upgrades on for embedded devices.
So little bit like snapshots of the file system?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. In file, you could create a disk image with ButterFS file system. So this would be concerning package upgrades. I think most people would say just rebuild a new disk image. So there's no special need if you have already a disk image to do an update or upgrade inside in it. Because the build process is so fast, just rebuild a disk image.
Yeah, and then you need to, like, I guess your use case is more into the cloud or server, but if you have like Internet of Things devices around and you need to deploy updates into these devices and there's failures, you need to roll back and things like that.
Yeah, as far as I know, most also embedded devices, you will always write the whole disk image onto it. Or is anybody using some Delta images or updates? So I only know that people get a new version of a disk image and write the whole disk image to the embedded device.
There are a lot of projects to manage this kind of updates for embedded with AB type system partitions. It seems that many projects are slowly standardizing on ROAUC, R-A-U-C, to do that, and it has gained CA-sync support recently, I think.
Question for you, Ben. You organized the session. What were you hoping to get out of this?
Just a conversation about the pros and cons. And
okay, cool. I mean, I honestly mean there's a wiki page,
mm-hmm.
Which hopefully should have links to all of these tools. Are you going to go through and update the links though?
I could do, yes.
Okay, please do, because obviously it would be great to share what people have been talking about.
So it looks like that's people have said all they have to say. Any last points? Let's see. No? Okay then, let's stop there.